ball spark.
You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour as we get into all kinds of different stuff. We've got the kind of update on the Thunder's race to the bottom. Where do they stand as we near the end of the regular season in the NBA? They took a loss last night to defending champion Milwaukee. But also in these last, since the All-Star break or so, pretty cool story developing with Lindy Waters, a native of Oklahoma, played at Oklahoma State, kicked around a little bit in some semi-pro leagues, and all of a sudden ends up with the Blue, now playing with the Thunder, and had a great game last night. Just a really cool story that's starting to develop there. There was a huge trade in the NFL yesterday, maybe one of the biggest trades of all time, with Russell Wilson being shipped from Seattle to Denver, a massive haul of picks and players were accompanying him back to Seattle. Man, it changes the balance of this league just again with the way that the quarterbacks are split up, NFC to AFC. Man, that AFC is tough. I've got everybody kind of written down in a couple of categories. It's crazy where everybody's at there. The division itself now in the AFC West, is it the best? I'm racking my brain thinking about a better quarterback for divisions ever. When Derek Carr is your worst, he's got to be the best worst quarterback ever in a division. But that also opens up the NFC. Man, there's to me four teams at the top that I would be shocked if they aren't the one playing in the Super Bowl from the NFC next year. We'll tell you who that is. And then also, right after the trade, I was kind of scouring the internet, and I acquired some sound from a Seahawks fan. It was really kind of touching and kind of sad that I'll play for you guys coming up here in just a little bit. Merritt Oilerettes state tournament tomorrow at 10:30 against Pecola in 2A. We had some 4A action from the Big House, both girls and boys. Excuse me, quarterfinals are over, and local flavor in the semifinals as the Weatherford Lady Eagles and Eagles move on. And also, my family's been watching a show, and I want to tell Jared about it too, as we bring in Jared Atha. He's on location at his house. What's up, Jared?
How you doing?
Doing well. Doing well.
Yeah, I'm on location, smack dab in the middle of the Atha compound. My kid is sick, so it is daddy's turn to stay home and be daddy nurse today. So apparently there's a bug going around the kiddos in this school system and others. That's what I heard from you. But the fortunate thing, hopefully, it's just a 24-hour thing. So that's why I'm here. I'm fine. But the kiddo is under the weather. So by the glory of technology, we can still have a show.
That's exactly right. And I've got, I'm going to tell you about a show that our family has been watching. We're diving toward the end of it, that is, I don't know if James would get a kick out of it whatsoever, and maybe not even Katie just yet, but it is fantastic that I'm going to tell you about here at the top. All right, 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698, give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things or whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show a couple of ways. You can log on to KADSAM.com or download the Paragon Communications app. The app has all things Paragon. Three radio stations. Also, the Penny News. Brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight. ThePennyNews.com. Check out the deals in this week's Penny News. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV are in the app. I will have at least one more go-around on Paragon TV with the Merritt Oilerettes tomorrow morning, audio only because of the restrictions from video by the NFHS network and in conjunction with the OSSAA. But it'll be an old-time radio broadcast on Paragon TV, also right here on these airwaves as well. And then, of course, the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and listen to what we had to say each and every day. Yeah, we find that on iTunes and KADSAM.com. Before we get to the show that we've been watching, Jared, tell us about the show last night, Paragon TV on site at the Five County Conference Awards Banquet. Just kind of fill us in on that night.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was over there in Sentinel in their event center, activity center over there. And it's, again, you know, talk about earlier in the week, we usually have a Paragon TV sports banquet where we've had one, and COVID kind of threw it for a loop and didn't have it last year. But we decided, we know we still want to honor these kids in our network, and a lot of the teams in our network are in the Five County Conference. And they had their award banquet last night, and they allowed us to be there and give out our awards. And while doing so, we just streamed the entire award ceremony that honored their academic all-conference team, and then, of course, their all-conference team and their MVPs. And it went off really well, really nice evening, good food. And then at the end, we gave away our awards to our Paragon Awards. So we're able to do that. And congratulations! It's just by chance that the Paragon TV MVPs or award winners were from the same town. It was Brett Griffith from Arapahoe Butler, and Katie Eden also from Arapahoe Butler. And man, the boys one was. I mean, Brett was awesome last year. He was awesome this year, and he was kind of the runaway winner. The girls, you know, people were asking me last night, man, how tight was that? I was like, it was tight. We were talking, shoot, just you and me and others in the studio were just talking for almost a dang hour about, man, how do we break this tie? But Katie came away as the winner, and she was also named the MVP along with Brett Griffith of the Five County Conference. So, It was a nice night, and then we gave away our coaches' awards. Our boys' coach of the year was Canute's Brock Steffes, and our girls' coach of the year was Merritt's Jeff Doherty for the seasons they put in. And of course, Jeff and the Merritt Oilerettes—they're still playing. So it was a good night had by all. Really, really, really nice night.
Well, that's good stuff, and like you said, well, it's still at least one more game to go for Five County Conference Schools with the Merritt's Oilerettes tomorrow morning against number 2 Pecola. That's a 10:30 tip in the Big House with Class 2A quarterfinal action. We'll have it right here on these airwaves and also an audio-only broadcast there on ParagonTV.com. So cool stuff. I'm glad that we could kind of horn our way in there. And be able to release those awards at the same night with everybody there, and it makes sense. You know, I know that they kind of all make an agreement not to have anything scheduled that day as far as spring sports, as all that's already getting going with baseball and that kind of thing. And so it probably works best for everybody just to do one instead of having two separate things and then take up another night of spring sports. So really good stuff there.
Right.
Last night down in Sentinel. Also, right quick, I just got this alert this morning. Speaking of spring sports and baseball, a guy that the Elk City fans are familiar with on the football field is going to continue his athletic career in baseball, and that is one Drake Hughes. Drake committed to play baseball at Connor State last night. So congratulations to Drake on continuing his baseball career at Connor State. He did that. He committed to them last night. Got a text from his dad this morning. So, fantastic stuff there. A guy that was exciting as anybody in Class 4A on the football field. He's going to continue his athletic career in baseball at Connor State. So, congratulations to Drake Hughes on that. Jared, I got to tell you, my family started watching a show Sunday, maybe, or maybe it was last week. And it is fantastic. It's a 3-part documentary series on the History Channel.
Okay.
Titled Abraham Lincoln.
I've seen this. I've seen it advertised. I haven't watched it yet.
It is fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. A must watch. A must watch for it. I'll tell you what. We started watching it, and it spurred Wyatt along far enough. He was interested enough to go to the library at Sarah Elementary and check out a book about Abraham Lincoln.
Wow.
Yeah. He was that. It's that interesting a documentary. It starts from when he was a little bitty kid, and it goes all the way through to the end. I think we're kind of right in the middle of the Civil War at the moment, and it's right in the middle of the last installment, the third installment. So, just it's a fantastic series. That, like I said, James probably too young; she wouldn't know what's going on. Maybe Katie too. They may not have gotten there yet, as far as the school goes. But Wyatt's kind of right in the early stages of, you know, a social studies and a history and that kind of thing. And man, it is worth the time. It's probably 3.5 hours or so segments, something like that. So I mean, it takes up a good chunk. Yeah. It takes up a good chunk of time. But we've been watching kind of an hour or so each night, kind of plowing through it, and it is just off the chart stuff. They're really, really good.
Have you seen the movie Lincoln?
I have not.
Oh, Aaron, you need to check that one out. It's not about the entire life of Lincoln, as this sounds like it is, but it's about little Abraham Lincoln and how he pushed the Emancipation Proclamation to free the slaves, and the struggle that was back then. And great movie, directed by Steven Spielberg. Daniel Day-Lewis plays Lincoln. When you're done with that, watch that movie. You'll enjoy it.
Yeah, I remember that movie coming out. And
it's very good. It's one of my favorites. I don't know. It's just every time it's on, I just can't turn it off. You know, it just sucks me in. It's kind of, there's always those movies that when you catch it on at some point, you just can't turn the channel. And that's one of them. It's a great movie. But I want to check this out. Is that the documentary type?
Oh yeah, it's a documentary type, but it's got character. I mean, people playing the characters, obviously, because nobody's still around.
Yeah.
From back then, but. I mean, it starts from he's just a little bitty kid when his mom dies, and how that starts to shape him. And you know, you're talking about, you know, back then, you know, he grew up in you know, the Midwest, and his mom dies, his dad just takes off from out in the middle of nowhere to the whatever the closest town was to go try to find another wife, and he's gone for like 6-8 months. And it's just Abe and his sister at the time. I mean, he couldn't have been like 8 or 9 years old, just in the middle of nowhere, living in a hut, trying to figure out how to survive.
You know,
it's the stuff that would clearly get your kids taken away from you now if you tried to do such a thing.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, maybe not. It doesn't look like you're probably cut out to be a dad there, bro. But, yeah, it's just, I mean, it's just start from there and the way that you know, his life experiences from then to, you know, and how much of a, quite frankly, how much of a battler he was, because if you don't know, he lost way more than he won in his political career, way more, and really was an afterthought type of guy, young guy, when he ran for the presidency the first time, and somehow, you know, he kind of battles through the process of getting nominated, and he wasn't anybody's first choice, but he turned out to be the second, and then he ends up winning the thing, and it's just crazy. And then it really does a good job detailing the stressful nature, and it shows a whole bunch of old pictures of him, like going into the presidency,
yeah.
and even before the Civil War started during his presidency to the end, and how much of a toll you could tell it just took on him physically, with the, you know, showing pictures from the start to the end of the war there, or the end of his life, and how much, you know, you see that with any president nowadays. You know, they obviously age in that position because they're under so much stress, but probably no more stressful time in the history of this country than that 4 years from 1861 to 1865, when that war was going on and trying to figure out how to keep the thing together while also freeing a people. You know, that's there was a lot on his plate to juggle, and it really captures that, and it's awesome. Anybody out there that hasn't seen it, go watch it, because it is a fantastic documentary on the History Channel about Abraham Lincoln. So, That's my PSA for the day as far as entertainment goes. Let's see. I'm sorry. Do what? You cut out the word.
Yeah, I'm cutting out. Look, if I can, I might call you back, but I was going to finish with the show I'm watching.
Okay.
I don't think I've talked about this yet. The show that me and Allie are watching, and I would highly recommend that your kids not watch this if you're listening. It's Pam and Tommy.
Oh, dear.
On it's actually very fascinating. And the reason I really like it, I didn't know this until I watched it. You think it'd be one reason. It's not. It's the music. It's like all 90s music just takes you back. It's really cool, but it's based on Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee and their relationship, and basically a look at, well, there's the infamous tape, but what that did psychologically to Pamela Anderson, and it's kind of a sad story. And Tommy as well, kind of, you know, that's something that no one had ever encountered before, they thrust into the spotlight like that, and how they had to deal with that, I don't know why every time me and my wife will sit down and watch it, and the music is, I'm like, man, I hope there's a soundtrack to this thing, because it's just full of all kinds of 90s pop rock type music. It's pretty cool. It takes you back. But no, do not watch that one with the kid. Even though it is historical, I wouldn't watch that with the kid. Not at all.
Getting some love on the text line. It's saying it's really good. The Pam
it's
and the Tommy.
One. It's not just all raunchy like you think it'd be. It's actually a really good show. Good actors in it, too.
You know, one of the better Netflix documentaries was the one about the band, Motley Crue. Did you watch that?
Yeah.
That was a really good. That was really good.
No, but there's a movie on Netflix called The Dirt.
Is that what it was? I mean, maybe it was a movie. I mean, it gets there pretty quick.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I like that. I you know, when I like stuff that looks back at, you know, I like history stuff, and I like, you know, documentaries, especially rock bio stuff, like the one about Queen and Freddie Mercury. What was that? Bohemian Rhapsody.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good movie. That movie right there, The Dirt. Again, don't watch that with the kids. But
not even like the first 30 seconds. Don't do it.
No. But it's cool. It just talks about their days on the Sunset Strip, their early days, and how their rise to fame. And man, they're crazy. That age of rock and roll, that big hair age of rock and roll. That is. I don't know how anyone. Some people did, but how they came out the other end alive. It's crazy that every night they go nuts. It's insane. Insane.
For a basketball, switch to a little bit of sports topics right quick before we hit the, before we hit that major trade in the NFL yesterday. But the 4A got underway yesterday in the Big House. All the quarterfinals are over for girls and boys. And you know what? As much grief as we gave the rankings process for Class A and Class B and the way some of those things turned out, 4A girls, and I mentioned this during the broadcast on Saturday, but 2A, 3A, and 4A area finals winners were ranked 1, 2, 3, and 4 in all three classes. So those coaches paid attention and had the right four schools ranked at the top in all three of those classes. That's pretty amazing that they were able to nail it that well. In 4A, not only did they nail it there, they nailed the semifinals because all top four teams won yesterday in 4A girls. Tuttle, number one, beat Stillwell 72-24. Class in SAS struggled for the first half against number 20 Blanchers, 23-17 at halftime. Class in led, but they pulled away, only allowing 7 points in the second half to the Lady Lions. They win 53-24. Number three, Holland Hall, dispatched to Fort Gibson 43-27. 18th straight year, the Fort Gibson Lady Tigers are in the 4A state tournament. That is by far and away a record in Oklahoma high school basketball history for 18 straight. But the Lady Tigers get knocked off by number 3 Holland Hall. And then number 4 Weatherford beat number 6 Kingfisher 50-41. So it sets up 1-4 in one semifinal, Tuttle and Weatherford. And in the other semifinal, 2-3 with Class and SAS and Holland Hall. That's on the girls' side of Class 4A. On the boys, a little bit different. Number 1 Kingfisher beat Blanchard 41-28. Number 4 Crossings Christian over Hall and Hall, 45-40. So that's the semifinal, number one versus number four, Kingfisher and Crossings. Number two, Victory Christian knocked off Mount St. Mary, 60-53. But the upset of the day, number three, Heritage Hall, beaten by the Weatherford Eagles. Cade Jennings with 32, knocked down 7 of 11 from 3. And Weatherford beats number three, Heritage Hall, 77-63. So that second semifinal, number two, Victory Christian against number 12, Weatherford. I asked you yesterday about private versus public, which side would win. Semifinals consist of two each, two privates, two publics in Class 4A with Kingfisher and Crossings in one side, Victory Christian, Weatherford in the other. You know, Weatherford's a team on the boy, the girls, everyone knew they were going to be good all year long. Now the question is, can anybody stop the Tuttle Class and SAS freight trains headed for each other in the finals? Weatherford girls have a chance. They played Tuttle already this year. It was a 15-point win for the Lady Tigers. But on the other side, the boys, man, what a great year for Coach Bull. And I told you when I saw him, thinking, man, number 12, these guys are underrated at 12. And they stumbled a couple times down the stretch, but once the playoffs started, they still haven't lost. And so they move into the semifinals. Just a great year over at Weatherford on the basketball court for both the girls and the boys.
I clearly motivated Weatherford to win because I picked Heritage Hall to win the whole thing yesterday, right? So I can take credit for that. No, that's it's awesome. They're playing. And you had that feeling about him way back during football season with that young man. We were kind of hinted at that. We saw, help me with the name.
Nixon, C.J. Nixon.
C.J. Nixon, and we were like, man, this guy, he looks athletic as they get. And then somebody texted me, a friend of mine from Weatherford said, football, listen, watch out for him in basketball. And I have a feeling he's, without seeing a lot of them, I have a feeling he's a big reason why. But, you know, it's a team sport, so there's, hey, that's awesome. I mean, Western Oklahoma represented well right there. I mean, why not Weatherford? You know, I mean, it looked, from what you were watching or seeing or listening, it looked like they dispatched of Heritage Hall rather easily. I mean, that's number three. Why not take down number two? I mean, sky's the limit for the Eagles right now.
Yeah, Nixon will get the hype, but it's Kay Jennings is the motor of that team. Senior point guard. He's just fantastic. He's quick enough. He's probably a better athlete than you realize he is. He can get his shot, and when he gets his shot, he makes it a ton. A 7 of 11 from 3 yesterday. The Eagles as a team, 10 of 12 from 3 in the second half. That's 83%. You know, it's hard to beat a team that's knocking down shots like that. And, you know, we always talk during the A and B state tournaments about shooting in that gym. You know, some people can inside the big house because of what it looks like. And the Eagles had absolutely no problem. And here's the deal. Now, they do lose Jennings. He's a senior. But everybody else is back. That Weatherford team is built for the long haul as they have two freshman starters with one of the Sage twins and Nixon. Rearman is a sophomore. The other Sage twin is a freshman. I mean, the Weatherford Eagles aren't going anywhere. And the Lady Eagles, they're kind of, you know, they're a little bit spread more out with some seniors, some juniors, but they got a bunch of juniors. So, you know, maybe this is, you know, a kind of a foreshadowing of next year when Tuttle loses everybody but Landry Allen, Class and SAS. I know they'll lose a bunch too. Maybe Weatherford kind of getting their feet wet back-to-back years in the semifinals, preparing for a run next year at the state title if they're not able to knock off that monster that is the Tuttle Lady Tigers coming up on Friday. So that's the 4A tournament, 3A today, 2A tomorrow. And as I mentioned, the Merritt Oilerettes going at it with Pecola, 10:30 tomorrow morning. We'll have it right here on 98.1 FM and also 1240 AM. Paragon TV audio coverage as well for the Oilerettes against number two, Pecola. I'm in studio, Jared, on the road today. Man, yesterday, right after we, right after we got off the show, a couple of huge things came down the pike in the NFL. First thing was that Aaron Rodgers is staying with the Green Bay Packers. Early numbers reported he disputed. I think it was like 4 years, $200 million with $153 guaranteed. He tweeted out, you know, that's not quite right. But either way, Aaron Rodgers will be with the Green Bay Packers. Then that caused them to, later in the day, franchise tag the best receiver in football, if not the best, the second best, with Devontae Adams. So the band back together in Green Bay.
I mean, honestly, my gut feeling was that this was always going to happen with Rodgers, anyways. That they were going to come to terms, and they were going to find middle ground or whatever rift there was. They're going to snuff it out and be fine. That I was just surprised it took this long, because we knew even before the season started that, you know, there was something going on there. I thought as soon as the Green Bay Packers season was done, we would get more traction on this. And then I thought, well, maybe he's waiting until after the Super Bowl. And then a couple weeks later, here we are. So I was really thinking it would be quicker than this. But, you know, it was hard for me to see him leave Green Bay, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I think we were kind of in agreement in that. And, you know, once again, for the second straight offseason, proud that we avoided that topic as much as humanly possible. And not just beat it in the. I'm sure if you turn on your TV today, they'll be talking about it. But it would have been yesterday, and the day before, 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 and the day before. And that's just not,
right.
You know, that's just not something that I ever want to do. You know what I'm saying? Especially and when it's not a topic from you know, local or what have you. And you know, it almost felt like it was feeding into what he was doing. The more people talked about him, the more that he enjoyed it. So he's there. It was pretty funny because one of the places that he was rumored to be interested in if Green Bay wasn't it was Denver. I think it was Denver, Pittsburgh, and Tennessee that came out on Sunday. Like, hey, if Rodgers doesn't agree to stay with Green Bay, then these are kind of the three places that he would be open to going. As soon as the news broke of Rodgers staying in Green Bay, a wide receiver in Denver, Jerry Jeudy, tweeted out like the sad face. And you're like, oh,
right.
You know, he really thought that they had a chance at Rodgers. Well, lo and behold, about an hour later, or an hour and a half later, he tweeted out the little emoji with the cowboy hat and the smoking happy guy, and it's, you know, we're lit because Russell Wilson has been traded from the Seattle Seahawks to the Denver Broncos. Wilson in a fourth rounder to Denver for two firsts, two seconds, a fifth. Drew Lock, defensive tackler lineman Shelby Harris, and also tight end Noah Fant go back to Seattle. What are your thoughts? How does this change things for Denver, for Seattle, and just the grand scheme of things? Just one of the biggest trades in the history of the NFL.
Well, it definitely makes Denver better, that's for sure. And I think in the long run, Seattle's going to be fine. I know we're about to hear from a Seattle fan, but they got a massive haul for this, and they had to. It was Russell Wilson. So,
did they get enough?
Yeah. Well, that's a great question.
Did they get enough? Think about this.
Tell me again what they got. I said it immediately to you. I said, I bet you they got a lot of draft capital.
They got two firsts, two seconds, a fifth, Drew Lock, a defensive lineman, and tight end Noah Fant. That's what they got for Russell Wilson, okay? Just a year back, the Rams got Stafford and had to give away four firsts and Jared Goff to Detroit. So if you look at it in the context of that trade versus this one, Denver got off incredibly light for what I think most people consider a better player going, you know, when the trades happen from Matthew Stafford to Russell Wilson.
You think so?
I mean, last year, I mean, when the trades happened last year, I mean, so Matthew Stafford now all of a sudden.
So you're saying Denver's in a better spot than what LA is?
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, they're not going all in for 1 year. They're fine moving forward even with what they gave up.
A little, I mean, way better spot than what LA is, for sure, yeah. with what they still have. You know, as far as
and that's what this is going to be. You're right. I'm glad you brought that up because that is what this is going to be compared to. You know, is the big quarterback move? How does the the team that acquired that quarterback, are they really okay? Are they good for 1 year? I mean, obviously it worked for the Rams, but will it work years down the road? That's I don't. We're very suspect of that. But Denver, I think, is going to be, I'm with you, I think Denver is going to be okay in the long run. And I think Seattle's going to be okay. They're going to just have to go through their lumps, but they got great draft capital out of that. They can turn into great talent, young talent.
I think part of the reason why they felt like they had to do it was they didn't have. They traded their two first-rounders away for Jamal Adams. So, you know, this year, instead of having number 9 and number 10 after this trade is over, they just have the 9th pick coming back from Denver. It just feels like they didn't get enough for the player that Russell Wilson is. I mean, think about Stafford just a year ago. He had never won a playoff game. He had put up a monster stats. There's no doubt about that in Detroit. But when you compared Matt Stafford getting traded at that time from Detroit versus Russell Wilson getting traded right now from Seattle, it's not even close. Russell Wilson has accomplished and been so much of a better player than Matthew Stafford ever thought about being in Detroit. Led him to two Super Bowls, won one, should have won the other if they just hand the ball off to Marshawn Lynch instead of letting him throw a pick in the end zone against New England. Things have gone a little bit south since then, but there is no doubt that, in my mind at least, that the player that Denver's getting in the trade from Seattle, they gave up way less for a better player than what L.A. had to give up in what they got with Stafford. Now, the proof is in the pudding. After 1 year, Stafford won the Super Bowl with the Rams. And so, yeah, it looks like a great choice if you're L.A., if you don't mind giving up, you know, the near future for a Super Bowl, and maybe two, as we'll continue on the conversation here. There's a chance that, L.A., after what happened in Seattle with Wilson being gone, Rodgers is back. So, I mean, it's obviously L.A., Green Bay at the top of the NFC heap, at least going into the season with those two guys, with those two quarterbacks that they still have on their roster.
I agree. I want to go back to Russell Wilson. Again, we really breaking it down. I like the comparison. Stafford, he was a good quarterback without the championships. He got his championship this year. You mentioned Wilson's accolades. Is there enough? I mean, is there enough left there in the tank for Wilson? How old is he?
He's just 32.
Just 32.
Younger.
You see what I'm saying? I mean, has he peaked already is what I'm asking you.
I think it's hard to tell.
Did Denver give up too much for a guy that's already peaked?
There's no way they gave up too much. No way they gave up too much. Even if it doesn't work, with what everybody else has always had to – hell, just to move up to get a pick at a quarterback in a draft, you have to give up more than this. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It's just two firsts and 2 seconds – for a guy that is this established, no. They didn't give up near enough. Seattle did not extract near enough from Denver. When you compare it to all the other trades that have been made, I mean, just the one the year before. I mean, there was genuine, like, what are the Rams doing when that trade happened?
Right. Yeah.
But it also, out of the same sides of people's mouth, it was what are they doing, but also, but this could be the missing piece because of the talent that was around him, right? I mean, there was no doubting what was around the Rams, and they felt like they were in the situation of, golly, Goff is the one holding them back. Stafford's clearly an upgrade from Goff, but I don't know that even in the, you know, a lot of people picked him to win it before when the trade happened. There's no doubt about that because of the talent that Stafford had. He just hadn't proven it. You're getting the same type of thing, but a guy that has proven it at Seattle year after year in this league. I think that Denver clearly wins this trade in the short term. And I think in a lot of ways they win it in the long term just because they didn't have to completely mortgage their entire draft future at the top of the drafts anyway by only having to give up 2 ones and 2 twos. That just doesn't seem like if I'm a Seattle fan, I'm upset because I don't think we got enough. And, oh, by the way, you know who else is upset about this? Noah Fant. You know why? Because he went from Drew Lock being his quarterback to Drew Lock being his quarterback, even though he got traded.
What about DK Metcalf? You think he wants out of Seattle?
I know one thing. If I'm somebody that thinks they're a receiver away, I'm calling Seattle yesterday. Hey, what about him? Seattle released Bobby Wagner, who is he and Wilson are kind of the last two cornerstones of those title teams. The linebacker there, Bobby Wagner, they released him. So this is obviously signaling kind of a complete rebuild. Seattle makes this trade in a year where there's no clear-cut guaranteed, or at least the thought of guaranteed quarterback to draft. So they can't use the picks that they got from Denver to try to trade up to nab one of those guys, Trevor Lawrence. Now there are guys next year, and so maybe that's their thoughts, where we'll take somebody at 9. We've got an extra second, then we've got 2 firsts and 2 seconds next year. Will that be enough ammo and here's the thing. I know that this isn't something that people want to hear about in the NFL with everything going on down in Miami and the accusations flying around there, but if you're Seattle, you're seemingly tearing it down. Why not trade Metcalf, get something great for him, and then you've got all kinds of bullets in the holster to either be terrible with Drew Lock as your quarterback and have one of the top couple of picks next year on your own, or be able to extract another first-rounder for Metcalf and then clearly have the draft capital to move up, because next year you're talking about C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young will be the quarterbacks coming out in next year's draft class.
Yeah, it all makes good sense. Don't doubt it.
Now, Seattle fan.
It's a big trade like this. I look, okay, there it is. There's the big trade. And then it's the domino effect. Who's, who wants out? Who goes where? And you're right. I bet you Seattle's phones are blowing up while that guy eats pancakes.
Tom.
Yeah. Pancake-eating guy.
I'll have David Putney just because I want to. Now, Seattle fan, not happy. And matter of fact, sad. I got this clip. I found this clip on the internet. And it was just like, it was almost heartbreaking as this went along. And you can sense just the sadness in the voice of this one Seattle fan. I had no idea this guy was a Seattle fan until yesterday. Man, here it is.
Wilson! I'm sorry! I'm sorry, Wilson! Wilson, I'm sorry! I'm sorry! Wilson! I can't! Wilson! Wilson!
Yeah, I had no idea that Tom Hanks was quite the...
You got me there. I was ready for a legit Seattle fan react. That is funny.
I had no idea.
Texting. I have a cousin who is... She lived in Denver for a bit. She's back in California, but she's a big Bronco fan. I just texted her and said, "How you feeling today?" I want to see her reaction. I bet she is on cloud 9.
Oh, yeah, and I think you could see this coming, right? Because, Tampa acquired Tom Brady, win the Super Bowl year one. That almost emboldens the Rams to make the move they did in the offseason last year to get Stafford, win the Super Bowl in year one. So you can kind of feel this coming. We didn't know if it was going to be Rodgers. We didn't know if it was going to be Wilson. But somebody that felt they were a quarterback away making another move like this, because it's worth that much, to mortgage the future the way that the Rams did for that title. And honestly, it makes sense in L.A. because, if you're not first, you're last. Ask Russell Westbrook about that right now. Struggling out there, people either get down on you or they'll quit paying attention, one or the other. And so if you're the Rams, you have to make that move. And I think for Denver, you make this move because – did you see the stat how many starting quarterbacks the Broncos have rolled out there since Peyton Manning was their starter in 2016?
No.
11.
Wow.
That is tied for a league high with 11 different starting quarterbacks.
What is that? Is that like Cleveland bad? Or I mean, you see what I'm saying?
Oh, it's historically awful.
Cleveland would – there's a number there, and that's be up there with them, where they would that so many starting quarterbacks within a short amount of time. And Manning doesn't seem that long ago, so that number is pretty high in my mind's eye.
No, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 season. 6 years, 11, so that's two per season. That's a bunch.
That's a bunch.
When you think,
definitely solidify that, yeah.
Yeah, think about them versus, say, the Steelers. They've had the same one. This will be the first time they have a different starting quarterback since the, what, 03 draft? When they drafted Ben? You know, that it's just,
yeah.
And even the team they traded. I mean, Wilson's been the starter up there for a decade. 11 years, I think. And so now he steps into a new role. What I'm saying is Denver, to be so quarterback hungry, I'm still amazed that they got out as cheap. And now I realize they gave up a bunch, but also feels like they got out pretty cheap to be able to get a guy like Russell Wilson to come in and be their starting quarterback when they've had that much futility at the spot. Now, I tell you what this does. The AFC quarterbacks, it's going to be – we'll have to do some research, but it's going to be hard to find a better group of quarterbacks than what is there right now in the AFC. You're talking about legit stars in Mahomes, Allen, Lamar's had an MVP, Joe Burrow just took his team to the Super Bowl, Russell Wilson joins that crowd, Justin Herbert looks like he's on the fast track to be a great one. You know, what about Deshaun Watson? There's some stuff came out yesterday. There's going to be grand jury testimony criminally against him, so maybe we can start to whittle him off that list. You know, Derek Carr showed out this year, led a team to the playoffs. That's a group that are, you know, anywhere from superstars to really, really good quarterbacks in this league. Then you go to the other side of the guys. You know, what's Tua? He's still young. He's shown some promise. Trevor Lawrence, people think he'll be a star. Baker Mayfield's won a playoff game in Cleveland. Mac Jones took his team to the playoffs. Tannehill feels like that next guy up on the chopping block a little bit. If Tennessee can figure out a way to get a better option, you'd think they might take it. Wentz is kind of that guy as well. And then, of course, Zach Wilson got better as his rookie year went along. That leaves only one team. There's only one team. There's a couple there that are question marks. No doubt Cleveland, maybe Miami, Indy, Tennessee. But the guys they have aren't terrible. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That only leaves Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is the only team in the AFC where you couldn't see that star, the guy that the other teams currently have. You could, like, make a case. You go, okay, this guy is good enough to get them to the playoffs or what have you. Pittsburgh's the only team that's not like that. You know, they're the only one really in the AFC that is desperate for a different quarterback just because Ben, you know, just retired, whether or not that's through the draft or grabbing somebody else from the NFC, maybe Jameis Winston, maybe the backup of the Bills, Mitch Trubisky. Could it be Kirk Cousins, another guy that would move from NFC to AFC? With the strength of the AFC quarterbacks, I think if you're on the NFC side, particularly four teams, you're sensing that, okay, this is our opportunity. This is the chance for us to be in the Super Bowl. And to me, the four teams that are leaps and bounds above everybody else is the Rams again, the Packers, Cowboys, Arizona, and we'll see with San Francisco what they want to do with Jimmy G.
Agreed. Pittsburgh, I think, eventually drafts their long-term guy.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I don't think it's this draft. Don't think it's this draft. I think they find a Band-Aid for this coming season, whoever that is, to those names you mentioned. But I think they're looking for that guy that's going to be their next big Ben. You know, they drafted him, they kept him there. So that's what I think their solution is.
Yeah, and who
response from the cousin? This is ridiculous. Definitely bummed it's not Rodgers. But we are known for making old quarterbacks shine again, so I have a good feeling about it. I'm currently texting her back. He's 33.
He's 32, I think. Yeah. Anyway. I'm interested to see how this all shakes out. The AFC just got way tougher, and it could keep going. If a Winston or if a Cousins ends up at Pittsburgh, you know, that makes a team that needs a quarterback is really good with whatever Ben was this year, a clear shell of his former self. and Pittsburgh was still a playoff team. You know, you give them competent quarterback play with the guys that are around around the quarterback position with Harris and the receivers and that defense. You know, the AFC is an absolute bear, and the Dallas Cowboys scheduling worked out perfectly for them, because who did they just get done playing this year conference wise in the AFC? What division? It was the West. So they get the AFC West off of their plate for three more years with that loaded quarterback division that now consists of Mahomes, Carr, Russell Wilson, and Justin Herbert. Man, that is strong, if not the strongest ever quarterback division in the history of the NFL out there in the AFC West. Good luck, Dakota. Good luck.
How about the NFL? Here it is, March 9th. We're getting ready for March Madness, and they are the number one talk today.
Always. It's always the NFL, no matter what. Rounding it up for a Wednesday, wrapping it up for a Wednesday morning here. Don't forget, tomorrow, 9:30, we'll have Brian Richardson, head coach of Sayre, Lady Eagle and Eagle basketball. He'll be on to talk about an awesome opportunity for the youngsters over in Sayre this weekend. There's going to be a semi-pro game, or a I guess you'd call that pro league, a game at the Sayre gym at 4 o'clock. But before that, from noon to 2, there's going to be a skills camp put on from 8 to 14-year-olds. He's going to discuss that, tell you how to get involved, get your kiddos over there to learn from some really great people in Sayre on Saturday. Also, don't forget, games would have started tonight or last night, next week for the NCAA tournament play-in games. We've got the Skinny on Sports group set up on the Bracket Challenge, ESPN's website. Come play along with us. Skinny on Sports 2022 is the group name. Just get signed up. We'll have a prize at the end for the winner. And it'll be a lot of fun to be able to talk trash back and forth to each other. Western Oklahoma Realty is involved with that with us, all the contests. They're involved with us. People before property is the motto of the group. That is the motto for Western Oklahoma Realty. Tyler and Robbie, all the gang down at Western Oklahoma Realty. Call them 225-6271 for all your real estate needs. All right, Jared, the Thunder nearing the end of what we hope to be the last true kind of tanking type season. Let's see. They have played 65 games, so 17 left. They're two wins behind Indiana, behind meaning lower. Indiana with 22, Oklahoma City with 20. They set in fourth worst. It'd be nice if Detroit all of a sudden has won six out of the last 10, three straight. The Pistons are up to 18 wins, just two shy of the Thunder. I know those teams will play before the end of the year, so that can be another chance for the Thunder to get closer with the loss to the young Pistons, who've kind of finally got everybody on the floor together. That top three, you know, has the best chance at the number one overall pick, and it also assures you of not going down to a certain level in the draft lottery. So with 17 left sitting in the fourth spot, it's a lot better spot than they were last year when they had to reel off 24 of 25 losses to finish the season.
It definitely helps that they shut down some players yesterday. Did you see that?
Yeah, it's all Lou Dort's done for the year with the labrum. Was there others that are out all the way through the end of the year?
A couple more, and it was clear. I think that was by design. It's okay.
Yeah, here it is.
We're shutting her down. Yeah, go for it.
Ty Jerome and Mike Muscala also done for the year for the Thunder. Sports hernia for Jerome and ankle surgery for Muscala. Yeah, I mean, here's the deal. It's Shea. And it's a whole bunch of dudes you never heard of, with Giddey not back out there yet. And it's a big reason why Oklahoma City's dropped, three out of their last three, four out of five, coming out of the All-Star break. They've won twice in seven tries. And one of those was against a Nuggets team that just blew that game. Denver missed their first 24 shots from three. That's a game and a team that this Oklahoma City squad should never beat if Denver plays even just a little bit. But they lost last night to the defending champs, 142-115, on the road at Minnesota tonight. Minnesota beat them over the weekend, 138-101. So that's another game that it looks like the Thunder should comfortably lose. And it's funny because we've been watching, or at least I have, kind of been watching Houston this entire time. from teams from behind trying to catch up to the win total of the Thunder. But right now it's clearly Detroit, just two behind with the chance for the Thunder to actually lose the game to Detroit. So if you put that one in the loss column, then just one more loss or one more extra loss over Detroit, and all of a sudden maybe Oklahoma City does end up in the bottom three. Last night's game, though, Lindy Waters, former OSU player from Norman North right here in the state, had his best game as a Thunder, 16 points. He was 4 of 9 from 3. He shot 36% since being called up from the Blue to the Thunder. This is just one of those really, really cool stories that happen sometime on teams like this. And I wonder if maybe Oklahoma City doesn't find a guy that could be useful on a good team in Lindy Waters.
There's some question or discussion about this. Will they keep him around? Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah.
Will they keep him around? Yeah, next year. It's interesting. I mean, I thought they brought him up just for the sake of, well, let's get an Oklahoma guy who played at Oklahoma State. Let's get him in here. Maybe we can sell a few more tickets in a tanking year. You know, just a financial decision, just a, PR move to get butts in seats. But if he can develop more, then I don't see why not. I don't see why he couldn't have a spot on the team.
Yeah, I think it's hard to evaluate these guys all the way to what you want it to be just because – it's hard to convince me that teams are coming into to Paycom or when Oklahoma City goes on the road and that they're really jacked up to play this team. I mean, when you look at the bench that the Thunder are rolling out there in that game last night, you just kind of look at yourself and go, huh? Who? Who is that? I mean, they had five guys on the bench play last night. It was Waters, Olivier Saar, Poku, Maladon, and Vit Krejci. Huh?
Who?
Yeah, who?
Yeah, who?
And so, I get, a guy being able to have a good game off the bench, but when you look at what Waters has done over, a smaller sample size that is growing, though, shooting 36% from three as a rookie in the league, that's something that you would think could get better and better, and especially as the team around him gets better, those looks get more open. I don't know. I think it's interesting to see if maybe not even here, maybe it's somewhere else, but is Lindy Waters at least putting out enough good tape for either the Thunder or for other teams to be able to maybe be one of those guys that can hang on past this year?
That would be interesting to me. I highly doubt it. I'm not trying to be cynical, but
sure.
I highly doubt it, but I think that it'd be a nice story if it can continue. If he can continue to develop, that's the key. And maybe it's a great story to show other guys. You don't have to be drafted high or drafted at all. You can start in these developmental leagues. You can start in Enid, Oklahoma, and get yourself on a G League team, and you never know what could happen.
100%. Another guy. A guy that we know that'll be around, or we hope that'll be around, that has just been absolutely unguardable since coming back from his ankle injury has been Shea. Over the last 10, he's shooting 57% from the field, 43% from three, just a stitch under 8 rebounds, 6 assists, scoring 33 a night on really efficient shooting. When you're talking about 57% from the field, 43 from three, and getting up 33 points a game, phenomenal stretch here for Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, and maybe he's showing, we're always thinking, when we talk about this Thunder team, we talk about the tank, we're talking about the draft, always looking for somebody better than him. Maybe not. Maybe he is a real number one on a team that can contend for, a top four seed in the West and look to make a big push in the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with all that.
All right, man. Well, that'll do it for us.
Well,
get James better.
Yeah, hopefully she's napping now. Hopefully she can keep some food down here in a couple hours. We'll see.
All right, buddy. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay. See you then. Take care.
This is Jared. I'm Aaron. Skinny on Sports out for Wednesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan.
Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.